morning and welcome to our worship here at Water Lane this morning. Welcome to anybody who's listening to the service later on the recording as well. The children will be joining us later in the service today to present their take on the Christmas message, so we look forward to that later. Just a couple of extra notices. Joan has made a request for anybody who has taken home one of the large music copies of Singing the Faith to please bring it back by next Sunday, because it will be needed for next Sunday evening service. So if you have one of the large Singing the Faith books that you've borrowed, please bring it back. And finally, there will be a mindful service this evening if you want a quiet time of meditation before the busy week ahead. Please join us for the mindful service this evening at 7:30. And now we'll move on to the lighting of our Advent candle, and then Katie will lead our service.
Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of love. In their old age, God gave Zechariah and Elizabeth a son called John. John spoke to the people bravely in the desert. It was uncomfortable, and he was prepared to die for what he believed. John taught that we should share what we have with others, treat each other kindly, and show God's love. He did this because he cared for people and he wanted them to repent and to find God's forgiveness. Now we light the candles. Love is like a candle shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the love we have in Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, your witness, John the Baptist, grew up strong in spirit and prepared people for the coming of the Lord. He loved your people and baptized them in the River Jordan to wash away their sins. Help us to have the same kind of love, that we can also be witnesses to him and spread the good news of your love. As Christmas draws closer day by day, help us to be ready to welcome him. Amen.
We're going to sing our Advent candle song. We're going to sing four verses because it has an introductory verse. Light a candle in a darkened place.
Thank you.
and some opening Advent prayer. The joy of the season is upon us. The time is almost here. We have come to praise the Lord. We are here to sing praises to God, the Holy One in whom we place our trust. God opens our eyes and lifts us up. Let us praise God, who reigns forever. Amen. And so we continue in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather in this season of promise to worship you and sing your praise. We praise you for your love and for your faithfulness, for you are the source of all hope, and from you all joy springs. You are the one we expect, but your coming is always unexpected. You are the one who turns everything upside down, and you make all things new. Advent, God of surprises, we worship you and we wait for you to awaken our wonder and astound us with your arrival. Loving God, in this season of excitement and weariness, open our hearts to your presence, for we know you meet us and hold us in and beyond the busyness, in and beyond the glitter, in and beyond the rush. When we are tired and frayed, when we lose sight of what it's all about, when we put ourselves first and forget that you come to bring love, come close and restore us and forgive us, we pray. Loving God, mend our broken hearts and help us to know ourselves forgiven and loved. In our thankfulness, help us to wait and to watch for you faithfully and truly all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we hear our readings, I've got some good news to share this morning. Laddie, who's been, I think, singing in the choir with you, and Assie. Assie this morning in the early hours gave birth to a baby girl. Baby girl called Anaya. Really lovely news. Anaya means God has answered. And so will be a little sister for twins Aria and Alyssa, who I'm sure will be absolutely thoroughly excited and will make wonderful big sisters for Anaya. Their message from Laddie this morning was, please do keep us in your prayers and help us glorify just how wonderful the Lord is. And so we will think of them in our prayers later in the service. But lovely, wonderful news for Assie and Laddie and family. Going to hear our readings now from Isaiah and from Matthew's Gospel.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.
Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 11, reading from verses 2 to 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amen.
We sing our Advent hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Born to Set Thy People Free."
Children's
Christmas pop-up books. I do remember one where you could open the page and the Noah's Ark would pop up and then the temple would pop up. If you were to open the Bible with the Old Testament and the New, what would pop up there? John the Baptist, I think, would be the most fitting person to be there at the opening between the old and the new, with one foot in the old and one foot in the new, almost the bridge between the old and the new. John the Baptist, the most fascinating of characters. Very much an Old Testament-styled wilderness prophet. You can hear him speaking those words of Isaiah, which include hope, but also words of vengeance and wrath that you never heard Jesus use. Jesus is forerunner, and yet different in so many ways. They'd been expecting and waiting for another prophet, for the Messiah. 450 years had gone by from the last prophet Malachi to the arrival of John the Baptist on the scene, filled with expectation and hope at his words. Hundreds, thousands maybe, went out into the desert to flock to hear what he had to say. John the Baptist was of that tradition that believed that the Messiah would come once everybody had become perfect and holy. And he was calling people to come to be baptized, to be forgiven of their sins, so that they could start afresh, turning to God in full readiness that the Messiah would come. Again, something that Jesus never asks of us. He doesn't ask of us to be perfect. He came, come what may, to us. So John the Baptist, very much one foot in the old, with words of vengeance and desire for perfection. But he definitely had one foot in the new too. And a real holy man who had the immense humility to let go of a position of power. He could have inherited a priestly role in the temple. That was his birthright from his father Zechariah. He abandoned that to go out into the desert with this heart for God, seeking and searching, discerning and longing. And not only had the humility to let that position of power go, he has thousands of people flocking to him, and he says to them, not me, but him. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of John's disciples. And John the Baptist said to him, no, don't follow me, follow him. And John the Baptist has this humility and lack of ego in being able to point people to Jesus. An Old Testament guy, but one who is able to point to the new. So in last week's readings, we hear about John at the riverside calling and baptizing and challenging with powerful language. This week, we find him in a very different place. Chapter 11, into Matthew's gospel, we hear that John is in prison, in a very dark place indeed, in prison in one of Herod's palaces. One of the great themes of Advent is darkness and light. Very suitable theme for the Northern Hemisphere of the church. And I'd like to share with you a quote about the darkness from Richard Rohr. The darkness will never totally go away. I've worked long enough in ministry to know that darkness isn't going to disappear. But that, as John's Gospel says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. We must all hope and work to eliminate the darkness, especially in many of the great social issues of our time. But at a certain point, we have to surrender to the fact that the darkness has always been here. And the only real question is how to receive the light and spread the light. That is not capitulation any more than the cross was capitulation. What we need to do is recognize what is in fact darkness and then learn how to live in creative and courageous relationship to it. In other words, don't name darkness light. Don't name darkness good, which is the seduction that has happened to many people. We pretend that darkness is passable as light. Our Christian wisdom is to name the darkness as darkness and the light as light, and to learn how to live and work in the light so that the darkness does not overcome us. Darkness will be there. Our challenge is to know how to confront it with light. And why is John in prison? John is in prison because he's called the darkness, darkness. He's had the challenge, the audacity even, to stand up to Herod, the most vicious sort of king of that age. He stands up and says to Herod, "You cannot take your brother's wife for yourself. You cannot take Herodias as your own. She's married." He stands up to Herod and he calls the darkness, darkness. He doesn't let it go. He doesn't let it pass. We hear reference to reeds blowing. There were reeds blowing and palaces along the Jordan. But John was no weather vane that took his direction from the changing political currents. He stood against the stream. He rejected the finery of status and wore the rough garb of the wilderness prophet. Where do we need to call out darkness as darkness? Where do we need to speak out against what is wrong, rather than accepting it as just the new norm? Where do we need to find courage to keep spreading light and goodness and love? Where can we shine light? In dark places, we may find ourselves inclined to root deep into our faith, to reach out and to hold onto all that we've experienced of God's love and light in the past. It can incline us to most earnest prayer. But darkness can also lead to doubt and despair. John is in the most terrible place. A dark dungeon, knowing that the worst could happen. But in addition to the conditions that he faces in for standing up to Herod, he's also in a place of dark uncertainty. He's had that clash of expectation. Everything that he has stood for as an Old Testament style prophet doesn't quite add up to what Jesus is saying. Where's the words of vengeance? Where's that mighty, sort of powerful arrival of Messiah that he wanted? Sure, Jesus was summoning people to repentance in view of the coming kingdom, but this was woven into the engagement of healing afflicted crowds with great mercy and deep compassion. This wasn't the kind of Messiah that John had expected or announced to the crowds. There's no indication that John had any less sense of God's call on his life. But doubts, perhaps, uncertainty, he wants to know, he needs to know, is this the person that he meant, he thought? He seeks to shed light. He's not seen Jesus in action. John was in prison before Jesus' ministry began in those early days in Capernaum. Is he the one? Doubt can be good. Let's just reflect on some words about it. There is much honest doubt that should be encouraged. History, for instance, is literally patched together with doubt. There could be no progress without it. Galileo doubted that the earth stood still. Copernicus doubted that the earth was the centre of the universe. Columbus doubted that it was flat. Newton doubted that nature was erratic, and Einstein doubted that the earth was fixed. Perhaps doubt can be the beginning of understanding. The doubt of an earnest, thoughtful, patient, and laborious mind is worthy of respect. In such doubt may be found indeed more faith than in half the creeds. Doubt, indulged and cherished, is in danger of becoming denial. But if honest and bent on thorough investigation, it may soon lead to full establishment of the truth. To be a Christian isn't to have the answer to everything, thank goodness. The questions keep you growing. Matthew doesn't hide John's question. It's really interesting what the gospel writers choose to show and not show. You know, remember that they show Peter in all of his weakness and vulnerability and all his mess ups. And they show that for a reason, because they want us to know that that's okay. And John the Baptist was highly regarded. In this passage, Jesus actually proclaims John, celebrates John as a prophet. But perhaps Matthew's also saying the questions are okay. They are not a sign of weakness. For Matthew, they're part of the nature of discipleship and faith, leading to a deeper appreciation of the mystery of God. Every time I get to Advent, I have questions. I start to think about the questions of the second coming and what that means and you know, has Jesus come already through the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? What does those final words mean? There are so many challenging passages during Advent. But every time I come to those questions, it takes me to a deeper place. It takes me to a deeper appreciation of the mystery of the incarnation, of God choosing to come and be among us. I don't understand it all. I can't comprehend it all. But that's okay. Don't be afraid of questions. Let them draw you into deeper understanding, deeper appreciation of the mystery and the incredible nature of God's love and light that continue to shine in the darkness. How does Jesus answer John's question? Well, as usual, Jesus doesn't give him a direct answer. If you look a little bit towards the end, there's a subtle change in how Jesus quotes the words from Malachi, which in a way is saying, yes, it is I. But Jesus says to John's disciples who've come to ask the question on his behalf, tell him what I've been doing. And Jesus quotes from that passage from Isaiah. He doesn't quote the bit about vengeance and wrath. There's so many times you can hear Jesus omitting those references from the Old Testament. But he does say to John, see what I've been doing. See that the blind have regained their sight. See that the deaf have had their ears unplugged. See that the lame have been able to walk. See that those without a tongue have been able to sing the praises of God. That is your answer. He's saying, I might not be fulfilling the Messiah's role just as you think I should. But are my works really at odds with what the prophets foretold? When things are tough, focus on Jesus. Focus on his words. Focus on all that he has done. His words and actions are an encouragement for us to believe. The writer of John's Gospel says, I tell you all of these things that Jesus has done so that you might know and believe he is the fulfillment of God's promises, that he is the one sent by God to save and to heal. When we have doubts, look to Jesus. And when you're in difficult times, you can still see Jesus' love and light shining. I had a friend on Friday morning feeling pretty despairing about the world and just said, but you've got to have hope. You've got to focus on the amazing goodness and love and grace and light in the people around you. I thank you for the ways in which you reflect Jesus' light and love and goodness and grace, because it brings me hope. We can see the amazing work that continues to happen throughout all the different types and forms of churches in this country and around the world. The challenge of Advent is that we are to be part of the light, to keep doing what Jesus did. We might not be able to bring sight to the blind and all of those things that Jesus was able to do, but we can learn how to receive and spread the light, to live and work in the light so that the darkness does not overcome us. We might not be able to do amazing things, but even a tiny light can make an impact on the darkness. Let us be Advent people, people of the light, and let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, and the hymn is an Advent hymn not often sung. It's one that Mary Lewis has chosen for her service on Friday. So invite us to sing it today, Of the Father's Love Begotten. Thank you. just want to take the opportunity to thank all of those who were love and light to Mary in the last couple of months, both through soup making and cards and visits. She felt so touched and so blessed to receive the touch of your love. And I know David is going to need that love too. And so we will keep David in our prayers and encourage you to continue to support him with that love. And we will hopefully gather as church family with Mary's family on Friday at 2 o'clock here to give thanks for her life. I know it will be hard and get moved just thinking about Mary, but she wants us to come with joy and thanksgiving and to celebrate and to give thanks and not be sad. Mary would want us to just come and use Friday to give thanks for her. We're going to use a hymn during our prayers. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And I'm going to ask Joan to play it through for us. Circle us, Lord, circle us with the light of your presence, bright within this dark world. Enable us to be overcomers of fear and temptation. Enable us to be victors over sin and despair. Enable us to become that which you would desire us to be. Lord of creation, Lord of salvation, circle us with the light of your presence. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Circle us, Lord. Circle our family with the shelter of your outstretched arms. Protect our families in each moment of their daily lives. Protect them in the decisions that they face. Protect their homes and relationships. And today we ask your special blessing upon baby Anaya, on Assie and Laddie, and on Aria and Alyssa. Bless this special family with your love on her arrival today. Lord of creation, Lord of salvation, circle our families with the light of your presence. Lord, we need you now. Circle us, Lord. Circle this nation with Advent, love and hope. Create a desire to listen to the Advent message. Create a willingness to understand and respond. Create a need to reach out to the Christ child. We pray for our nation. We pray for both those who rejoice and those who are dismayed with the current election. And we pray for all those newly appointed in authority, that they might use their power to protect the most vulnerable in society. Lord of creation, Lord of salvation, circle our nation with the light of your presence. Fill us with your peace. Circle us, Lord. Circle this world with the joy of your salvation. Where there is sickness and disease, bring healing. Where there is hunger and despair, bring hope. Where there is torture and oppression, bring release. In the moment of silence, we hold before you those who we know to be unwell at this time, asking that your healing hand be upon them. And we ask your comfort too for David and Gavin and Chris and all the Lewis family. Lord of creation, Lord of salvation, circle this world with the light of your presence. Touch us with your love. Lord, you have given us your word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Help us to be lights in the darkness, lights that burn bravely in the circle of your love. Hear our yearnings, our carings, our concerns and our questions. Be in us, God, in our work, our calling, our journeys, our wandering. Circle this world with the light of your presence. May we see your light. We join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you to everybody who helped at the Labyrinth during this week and for everybody who came to participate in it. If you were not able to see it, as we receive our offering, there is a chance to see it now. There's a little bit of a humorous moment, and the flat out point at the end was because it was at 10:30 at night that finished laying the path. But and those who saw the path, knowing that it went down in 5 hours, took 5 hours to lay it, Joshua and Olivia pulled it up in less than 5 minutes, so thank you to them. But our offering will be received as you can have a look at the labyrinth, and then the children will join us. God, we thank you for the blessing of your love, for coming amongst us so that we might know your healing, your presence, your forgiveness, your grace and your love. We ask that you will receive these gifts for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Emma, just, where's Emma gone? Emma just mentioned that having taken 5 hours to lay the path, Joshua and Olivia pulled it up in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they did a brilliant job. Thank you.
If you saw Katie and I earlier this week, we were like walking like this. We were a bit propped by it, but it was worth it.
Anyway, I believe the children are going to come and share with us their nativity presentation.
It's a few days before Christmas in a home not far from here, where the excitement is rising as the special time draws near.
The home is filled with festive trimmings, all ready for the special day. Food is bought and presents wrapped. Lights twinkle with a great display.
The lights declare that they love to sparkle, and the carol bursts loudly into song. Mince pies sit warmly on a plate, while the tree stands tall and strong.
Oh, I'm so excited too! I can burst into song!
It's going to be so sweet, just like me.
You're getting a bit above yourselves. There's no Christmas without presents. Imagine waking up on Christmas morning and not getting any of me.
You'll be so sad. I'm not twiddling.
And if there were no mince pies, it just wouldn't be so special if we weren't here. You'd just be left with sprouts and bread sauce.
Yeah, I hate sprouts! Hey, hey, you lot, I really like sprouts. Stop giving them a bad name. And if it's Christmas, don't forget me. All those cards, baubles, stockings, that's what makes it stand out.
Don't forget me. Without me, where would the baubles and the lights go? And where would you put the big presents? No, without me, it just doesn't look like Christmas.
Oh, you need me. You need some singing. You need some singing. Oh, it's no good.
What a racket. Time to stop. What's the fighting all about? It's the season of peace and joy, not the time to stamp and shout.
The child stands and thinks, what could it be? Why are they arguing? And starts to see
that they have all been fighting because they want to know who is the most important at this Christmas show.
There you go, I'm important.
Now then, you lot, stop the fighting and try to listen, please. This is what's important at Christmas, and I'll show you one of these.
And the child told them all the nativity story, about how Mary was told by God that she was to have a baby, and how she travelled with Joseph to Bethlehem. The town was so busy because of the census, they could only find a stable to stay, where their baby Jesus was born amongst the animals.
Shepherds were the first to come and visit, told of the amazing news of the birth of their Saviour by angels. Later, a great star in the sky led Magi to find Jesus, where they offered him gifts of great worth. And this is Jesus. God sent him to live amongst us to show how to live and to love as God wants us to.
And you can't have Christmas without Jesus. If that's what Christmas is for, what are we all doing here?
Don't you need us?
Come on, friends, it's time to go.
No, please, wait, please don't go. It is true, we don't really need you, but we do want to celebrate and enjoy Christ's birthday too. It just wouldn't be the same without you all. Presents, lights, mince pies, carols and trees tall.
And the child kindly explained in turn. The lights remind us that Jesus brings lights to dark places. Carols express the angels' news-telling that brought joy to the shepherds' faces.
Decorations full of colour and sparkle that brighten up our homes and streets remind us of God's creation of the world from pebbles to parakeets.
The mince pies represent the manger and reflect the sweetness of God's grace. The tree symbolises the cross where Jesus gave his life in sacrifice.
And presents, they simply tell us that the greatest gift of all was the gift of a baby sent by God, Jesus, the Saviour of the world.
So you really want us to stay then?
All of us?
Of course I do. Christmas just wouldn't be the same without all of you.
And we can't have Christmas without Jesus.
Well done, everybody. That was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. We're now, if you leave the table here for me, Emma.
Yeah, sure.
now going to bring our gifts forward. To our gifts today, this year we've been collecting for the Wilmslow Talking newspapers. Some of you have already brought gifts forward, so don't worry. And also our food gifts for Foodlink. And it's the last Christmas that Foodlink's going to be in this form, so it's lovely that we've been able to give a special help. It might be, Emma, that some of the children can help bring the food from the basket outside to the front while we listen to, and maybe join in the song. Hopefully it works this time. Bells are ringing, so if we listen to the film clip. God, we thank you again for blessing, and we ask your blessing upon all these gifts of food, that they might go to those who really need them at this time, that need a reminder that they are loved and not forgotten. And we ask your blessing upon Annis, who for so many years has been coordinating and reaching out to those in need in her community. We also ask your blessing upon those who work with the talking newspapers and those who receive them, that receive that way of hearing news. So we bless everybody that will be touched through these gifts, through your name. Amen. We're going to sing our last carol. Just say on next Sunday evening, and we've got our carol service at 7:30. So please do come. I know how many people in the choir? Got 34 people going to be singing in the choir. So please, please do come. And you know, Christmas is the one, it's not easy to invite people to come along to church. It's probably one of the most difficult things for us to do, but not at Christmas. So please, why don't you invite a neighbour? Why don't you invite a friend or family member and say, we've got this wonderful evening to sing carols with a wonderful choir. So please think and pray during this week, who might you invite to come next Sunday evening and share in our Christmas celebration. But we're going to sing our carol now. See him lying on a bed of straw, and there are some instruments if any of the young ones want to join in with an instrument. Final prayer on the screen. Let us go forth with eyes to see and ears to hear and voices to proclaim, in the ordinary and the vulnerable, God with us. In the challenge of the unexpected, God with us. In dark times fighting for love and justice, God with us. In the work of peace, God with us. Amen. And just say thank you to Joshua and Joseph, who on their own today have done all of the media work at the back. They've done a fantastic job.